Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython weekly meeting for Monday, June 22nd, 2026. It's the time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. I'm Dan, and I'm sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. CircuitPython development is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from adafruit.com. This meeting is hosted on the Adafruit Discord server. You can join anytime by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the CircuitPython Dev text channel and the CircuitPython voice channel. This meeting typically happens on Mondays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, except when it coincides in a U.S. holiday. In the notes doc that accompanies each meeting, there's a link to a calendar you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. We also send notifications about upcoming meetings via Discord. If you would like to receive these notifications, just ask us to add you to the @CircuitPythonistas Discord member role. Okay, so as I mentioned, there's a shared notes document. Right now it's a Google Doc that accompanies the meeting and recording. And there's a link to that in a pinned message that's at the top of the CircuitPython Dev channel. You can contribute to this notes doc beforehand. The final notes document includes timestamps to go along with the video, so you can use the document to skip around and view the parts of the video that interest you most. The meeting tends to run 30 to 60 minutes. It's been mostly 20 to 30 minutes in the past several months. If you wish to participate but cannot attend, you can leave hub reports and status updates in the document for us to read during the meeting. This meeting is held in five parts. I'll just get to each part. I'll describe each part as we get to them. Okay, so let me go ahead and take a timestamp here, and we'll start with the community news section. And let me tell you about that. These are news items that are available in our weekly Python for Microcontrollers newsletter, edited by Anne, which goes out via email on Monday mornings. Visit adafruitdaily.com to subscribe to the newsletter. Thanks very much, Anne, for putting the newsletter together. If you have any Python or hardware projects to share or find any content you'd like to see included in the newsletter, please consider contributing to the newsletter. Just email cpnews@adafruit.com with a link to the content, and we'll take it from there. All right, I was meant to take a timestamp, so I'll do that. So now I picked, there are a bunch of items in the newsletter that have to do with MicroPython and some other things. So I've picked two items that are a little more CircuitPython related. First is that there's a CircuitPython MCP server done by Frederick Blaise. He's created an open source CircuitPython MCP server, a minimal set of MCP JSON RPC, a minimal MCP JSON RPC server helpers, a set of those for CircuitPython projects using the Adafruit HTTP server. So this is an MCP server that lives on a CircuitPython board. It's not an MCP server that's about CircuitPython, like SpringPython documentation or something like that. So it's for your board to serve up MCP content to some LLM that wants to take a look at content that's supplied by your board. Okay, next up, we've got an article with a rather provocative title, AI Can Rewrite Open Source Code, but it can rewrite the license too. So the question is, or to summarize, AI coding tools are raising new issues with how that quote, clean room, unquote, rewrite process plays out legally, ethically, and practically. These issues came to the forefront last week with the release of a new version of Caridet, a popular open source Python library for automatically detecting character encoding. So there's a link to a web news item about that. It's pretty interesting. And it's, if you go to GitHub or wherever this is discussed, there's quite a lot of back and forth about this. It's worth taking a look at it and ponder about it. And see, I'm not sure you have a position. It's something that really needs to be developed, I would say. Okay. Finally, as I mentioned, all these news items come from the Python and Microcontrollers weekly newsletter. There's a link to the archives of the newsletter in the notes doc. And again, email cpnews@adafruit.com if you'd like to contribute to the newsletter. Okay. Next up, we've got our next major section, the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. This section is a quantitative overview of the entire project. It gives us a chance to look at the health of the project separate from our status updates. We'll talk about the project overall and then separately discuss the core, libraries, and Blinka. All right, first up, overall, in the past week, there were 17 pull requests merged, which is great. 8 authors, people we've seen before, and 5 reviewers. And there were 4 issues closed by one person and 4 opened by 3 people. Next up, I'll tell you about the CircuitPython core. In the CircuitPython core, there were 6 pull requests merged by 4 authors, and there were 2 reviewers. There are now 15 open pull requests, which is about the same as last week. It's very comfortably under our kind of goal of keeping it under 25, which is one page of a GitHub listing. There were 4 issues closed by one person and 1 opened by one person. There are now 780 open issues. Those issues are tracked by milestone, which are sort of priority levels. For instance, there are 0 open issues for the 10.2.x milestone. That's the current stable release of CircuitPython. There are 44 open issues for the 10.3.0 release, which is upcoming. There are 33 issues open for, hopefully we can fix in 10xx sometime in the 10 release cycle. And there are 14 open issues for 11.0.0, which are things that we've deferred because we don't want to make changes, like possibly incompatible changes in 10. We want to defer to 11. And then there are some other categories like libraries, support, and third party. There are 0 issues assigned to milestone, and there are 660 long-term issues, which we may or may not get to in the long run, but are useful to have around, and we review that from time to time. All right. The next section we're going to discuss is libraries, and Tim will tell us about the libraries.
All right, thanks, Dan. Yeah, this section covers all of the CircuitPython libraries. They are hosted on GitHub under 2 different library bundles. The Adafruit library bundle has 394 libraries in it right now, and the community library bundle has 177, for a total of 571 libraries right now that support various drivers and other utilities on CircuitPython devices. Over the past week, we had 11 pull requests merged by 5 different authors. Thanks to Mikey Sklar, Brent, Carter, Liz, and myself. We had 5 reviewers as well, thanks to the same folks, plus Dan and Tyeth, for doing some reviews this week. In terms of the pull requests that were merged, it was basically all on the new side of things. We had the oldest one was about a week old, 6 days, and the newest several were all 1 day old. That leaves us with 40 pull requests open. The oldest one of those is a draft that is still out there that is at 1,404 days. I should swing by that one and look into it again, try to figure out if we need it still. The newest one is 2 days old right now. It was a quiet week for issues. No issues closed by anyone. 2 new issues opened up by one person, leaving us with 783 open issues across all of the libraries in the Adafruit bundle. And there are 2 of those right now that are labeled as good first issues. You can find those over at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is a website where you should head if you are interested in getting involved in CircuitPython on the Python side of things. On that page, when you first load it, again, circuitpython.org/contributing, you'll find a list of PRs, links over to GitHub that go to pull requests. And the first place that we tend to point folks who want to get involved but don't have a specific idea of what they want to do is to review pull requests, because that lets you get a sense for what the code is, what it can do, and start looking it over. So that process is basically just clicking through to GitHub, reading over the proposed change that's in that pull request. You can check over the code for things like spelling, syntax, logic, all of that sort of stuff. If you have the hardware, then you can even run it on your own device. And when you have done so, you can leave a comment there on GitHub letting us know what you found when you looked over the code. If you were able to try it out, let us know that as well. Let us know how it went, what hardware you use, what versions, all that sort of stuff. Once you get comfortable with that process, if you would like to join our official review team that we have on GitHub so that you can get notifications of new PRs as they come in for stuff that needs to be reviewed, we can work with you to add you to that team. If you would like to get started contributing some of your own code, you can also do that from the same page. On the contributing page, if you click over to the Issues tab in the navigation at the top, you will have a similar looking page with a links, with a list of links over to GitHub. But these ones represent issues, so they don't have a proposed change yet. It's either someone asking to fix a bug or add a new feature, add a new example or new functionality, something like that. If you'd like to work on one of those, again, you can kind of scroll through the list, find something that's interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for, click through to GitHub, read up on what the issue is, and then in that case, you would submit your own PR to try to resolve it. We do have a learn guide that covers the process of contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are more than happy to help get you spun up here on the Discord. So if you are wanting to contribute, whether you want to review or you're trying to contribute some of your own code in a PR, if you're having trouble with version control or actions or any other part of the process, just come say hi on Discord. Let us know what you're up to. Somebody would be happy to help you out. We do want everyone to be able to contribute in whatever way works best for them. And I will leave you with new libraries of the past week. We have in the Adafruit bundle, the AY8912. Which, if I understand correctly, is a sound emulation, a sound chip emulation driver. So you can use that to make some nice beep boops. And then in the community bundle, we also have a 7-segment library. So folks use those little 7-segment devices. We have better control for those now over in the community bundle. And that's what we have for libraries this week. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Okay. Next up, we've got Blinka. Blinka is our compatibility layer for CircuitPython code on single board computers like Raspberry Pi. So what Blinka lets you do is run code that's written for CircuitPython, but run it on regular Python on a single board computer so that you can move your code back and forth and you don't have to use board-specific libraries for any particular single board computer. That's all handled by Blinka. So in the past week, there weren't any pull requests merged. There are still 13 open pull requests. Like last week, there's one issue was opened by one person in the past week. There are now 85 open issues, and we've got 174 boards supported by Blinka right now. Okay, our next major section is HUD reports, which is a chance to highlight folks in the CircuitPython community and beyond for doing awesome things. I'll just start and we'll go down the list of people who've submitted HUD reports alphabetically. If you're text only or you're missing the meeting, I'll just read your notes when I get to them in the list. And this week we just have Tim and me who are the only contributors to this section. All right, so I'll start and say, get my timestamp right. Thanks to Tim for a very quick USB audio implementation, which is a really neat feature. Using he'll tell you about it later, but I've already tried it and it's very nice. And also thanks to Bablock B, who's working on I/O expanders, especially for SD cards where you need some of the pins like this. The chip select pin for the SD card is not on a regular pin, but is it on an I/O expander. Okay, next up is Tim.
All right, thanks. I have a HUD report for you, Dan. Thanks for reviewing the USB audio stuff and providing some good suggestions on the API. Definitely appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. All right, that's it for HUD reports. Next is status updates. It's our time to tell folks what we're up to individually. I'll start and we'll go through the list of updates automatically. When I call you on you, you can take a couple of minutes to talk about what you've been doing since the last meeting or what we'll be doing till the next meeting. If we have a longer discussion, we can that is too long to include in this section, we'll just move it to the in the weeds section. Okay, so first up is me. So in the past week, I fixed a regression on ESP camera, which made the Memento board not work, and presumably other stuff after we upgraded to ESP IDF 6. So in the next 10.3.0 alpha or beta release, there'll be this will be the 6 will be included. Another thing is that a user pointed out that PDM in was not well documented, and there were some other problems with it, and I discovered that it wasn't actually turned on ESP32, though it was perfectly capable of being turned on. So that's turned on, and the documentation issues were fixed up. And also, I made the build be a little more flexible in terms of being able to turn it on and off. As Tim mentioned, he's working on USB audio, so I've been testing and reviewing his audio PRs, and I'm also prepping for the next 10.3.0 alpha release, so that will almost certainly include USB audio and maybe some other things, other interesting things, and also fix regressions and include a bunch of bug fixes. So that's what's up for me. And next and finally for this list is Tim.
All right. Thanks, Dan. I finished up the Raspberry Pi video feedback guide last week, and that's published now, so folks can check it out in the Learn Guide system. And after that, I kind of started diving into this audio work that we have mentioned a few times. So in the core, I've added USB audio module, and I started with a USB microphone, so making CircuitPython microcontroller appear to the PC as though it's a microphone, and then allowing the CircuitPython code to send audio data, either generated with SynthIO or other audio APIs that we have, to send that data to the PC, and it can record it or play it back or send it to whatever applications you want that interface with microphones. Got that working and then moved on to the speaker implementation next. So sort of the opposite of that, the in this case, the PC can send audio to the CircuitPython device. The CircuitPython device can then add effects or output it to a speaker or send it along into some other system. These are going pretty good. I've been working with Dan on the reviews and refactoring a bit there. So microphone is already merged in, but there will be some API changes. And then speaker is open in a PR now. And over the weekend, I threw together kind of a demonstration of these two things working together on a macro pad. I set up a sort of USB effects pedal, so it has four different slots. You can apply up to four different effects to the audio, and it will feed audio in from the PC to the microcontroller. It will apply the effects up to four of them, and then it will feed it back out over USB either to another computer or back to the same computer. So you can use it to kind of manipulate sound that comes from the computer and then send it back into the computer, into a meeting app or whatever you want. So you could do voice changing and that sort of stuff with it. I think there will be some other cool projects that come out of this as well, but this was just a basic example that made a good test for using both the output and the input side of this new API together. Also in audio land, but slightly differently, I jumped into the audio I2SN module, which is another recent module that we added to the core. This one allows I2SN microphones in CircuitPython. And what I have added to this one is I have a dev branch now where it implements the streaming protocol. So the existing API for this just allows you to record. You can either record into memory or you can record to like a WAV file. You know, stored on an SD card or on the file system or something like that. This new part of the API allows it to be hooked up to the audio effect modules we have, like audio delays and audio speed and all those things. It also allows it to be chained to an output so that you can take that audio from the I2SN mic and send it straight through to a an output, you know, PWM out or audio out, something like that, so that you can send it back out to a different set of speakers. And with this one, I actually combined this together with the USB audio from my other point and made a sort of USB microphone that has customizable voice changing. So you plug it into your computer, it shows up like a normal microphone. You can choose it in your whatever apps you want, but instead of just sending in regular audio, you know, you can do the whole chipmunk or really deep voice. You can add different effects to the voice. So that's a neat little thing to play with as well. And then the actual project that kind of goes along with this, the first project that I'm working on is a little Morse code device. So I picked up a paddle, a Morse code paddle, the little button that you can press that you hook up to a sound machine. And I have this connected to a Circuit Playground Bluefruit right now. And I have that Circuit Playground Bluefruit acting as the USB microphone to be able to send the beeps and tones into the computer. So I will write this up as a basic learn guide that uses these new modules, but it has been primarily just sort of a project that exercises some of the new stuff as a way to explore all of this audio stuff that I'm working on. But I do have the proof of concept put together now and actually beeping when I press the button. So it's a good milestone on that actual project. And that is what I am up to. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Tim. All right. The next section would be in the weeds, where we might have some longer discussion about something or other, but there's nothing for that right now. So we'll just skip that and we'll move on to the wrap up, which is just to say that the next meeting will be in a week on Monday, June 29th, same time, 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time, and we'll hear from you then. Thank you very much, everybody.